Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You don't have to look far to see parents struggling with distance learning since the COVID-19 pandemic forced schools to close. They're talking about it all over social media. But what if you have a child who is on the autism spectrum? The challenges can be exponentially greater. How are parents handling it? Is there help for them? Are there resources out there? Well, April is Autism Awareness Month, and tonight we're going to talk to a parent and an expert on the topic. My guests are Dakita Brown. She is an autism advocate and founder of Walk One Day in Our Shoes, and Deborah Martin, educational consultant and former school psychologist for Fairfax and Prince George's County Schools. If you have a question or a comment, if you are looking for resources to help you better find a smoother road as you're trying to educate your child who may be on the autism spectrum, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dakita, Deborah, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Dakita, let me start with you. Briefly, tell me about your child and some of the challenges that you're having.
Well, my daughter is 14 years old, mm-hmm. and she has nonverbal autism. She goes to a public school with an autism program, and most of her learning is done in the community and in the classroom. So whereas every other child, and I have two neurotypical children as well at home, so they receive their laptops, they receive links every day with work to follow. And my daughter with autism, she did not receive those things, at least not in the beginning. So it was a challenge for me in particular because she's looking to go into the community. She works with a speech pathologist, a language therapist, an occupational therapist, a school psychologist. These are the individuals that she sees at school on a daily basis that she just stopped seeing. And suddenly I'm wearing those hats and trying to figure out how to provide for her at home. On top of that, she's nonverbal, so she can't communicate to me to say, hey, I'm upset because I want to go to school. So I have seen some increased behaviors as well. And I have a 9-to-5 job that I'm still working at home while trying to support her distance learning. So it's been challenging, to say the least.
That is a lot to deal with. That is, my heart certainly goes out to you. Have you been able to find any assistance or resources at all? I'm assuming that this has been going on for as long as children have been out of school.
It has. And, you know, I'm pretty paranoid when it came down to the onset of coronavirus in the community. So the day before the governor for Maryland, we are in Maryland, the day before mm-hmm. the governor mandated that schools close, I decided that I was not comfortable with them going to school. So part of me felt, I really hope that they close schools. And the other part of me said, you know what, this is going to be a challenge if this happens. So as soon as they decided to close, I reached out to her teacher. That was my first, the teachers and all the specialists who work with your child are still there to help you. They were it's kind of like the trick where you take a tablecloth off a table and leave everything else on the table. They were stuck. They had no idea what to do. And I said, listen, I don't want her sitting here all day. What can I do? And they said, we're trying to come up with a plan. We'll be in touch as soon as possible. So with that, I created my own schedule because, again, I didn't want my child to regress and just be sitting in the house looking bored. So I got some ideas from her teacher and from some of her specialists, and then I started to incorporate activities of daily life, or what we call ADLs, where it's basically grooming skills and washing dishes and doing little chores. These are things that I could not really work on with her when she was in school because we're rushing out the house to get to school and we're rushing to bed at the end of the night. So I was able to turn it around and work on those skills that she really needed help with. And now for the past month, we've been really incorporating those things. And luckily, I have now talked to all of the representatives from her school, and so we have a plan. She has her classes, but it did take several weeks to get there.
Wow, that is amazing. Hats off to you. Deborah, obviously, when you're talking about the autism spectrum, not everyone has the same capabilities as everyone else. Why, if you can drill down a little bit with me and talk to me about why it may be easier for some parents than others as it relates to continuing the educational process with their child.
Well, with autism, there is a wide range of functioning that children can have. That's why we refer to it as a spectrum disorder. And so for some children who may be nonverbal or who really have very significant cognitive deficits, being at home and having to, work with your child can be extremely challenging because, first of all, the instructional time that they are used to having, it is not matched apples to apples now. It is significantly decreased. And so children with autism really rely on routines and schedules. And so being at home and having to do distance learning really has been, very, very much of a challenge. And there are many tools and techniques that are used in the classroom for children that have autism that parents simply do not have at home. Some children have assistive technology because they are nonverbal. And so teachers use pictures at school for them to communicate, or they have speaking devices that they use to speak for them. And so I think it's very important for parents to ask the school team for any type of devices, supports, any special sensory things that were at school. Can I have them at home during distance learning so that my child will have as much of a normal routine when it comes to learning as possible?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about educating your autistic child during the COVID-19 pandemic. What are the challenges? Where are the resources? We're going to be asking the question that a lot of parents are asking right now. What do I do now? If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you are looking for help with making sure that your child gets the best education under these difficult circumstances, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talk to me a little bit, Dakita, about it was interesting. Deborah was just talking about all of these resources that may be in place at school that you did not have. Talk to me about trying to duplicate some of those things outside of that plan that you've already come up with. Were you able to at least duplicate some of it?
I was. The biggest issue for me was that my daughter uses assistive technology, which is basically, since she's nonverbal, that it's a device that speaks for her. So she has an iPad, and there's a program on the iPad that is pretty expensive. And she already had that program on an iPad at school, but she didn't have that program on the iPad that we had at home. So thankfully, it took a couple of weeks, but once they closed schools, her teacher reached out to me and said, listen, because I said, I'm going to have to purchase this software because I want everything to be the same across the board. And her teacher said, meet me at the school. I was able to go to the school and pick up all of the assistive technology for all of my kids. Meet me and I will give you some things that you can use along with the device. So I went and met her teacher, got the device. She gave me some other things from her desk that they use on a daily basis, such as, the day of the week and how do you feel today. So And I just reaching out and asking for it, I'm sure she would have given it to me had I not asked. But the fact that I was able to say, I really am lost and need some help, she was able to give that to me. And then having a conversation with her occupational therapist and speech language pathologist, they even told me things that I didn't know my daughter was doing in school because she's in school while I'm at work. So they said, oh, she likes to do this in class and she likes to read these types of books. So I was able to kind of put things together with the resources that I had, but I was thankful to get that assistive technology from the school because that was the biggest help for me.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about educating autistic children during this COVID-19 pandemic. Terry calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Terry. What's on your mind?
My question is, my daughter has an IEP, and when they closed school up that Friday, she wasn't able to get her tablet that they learn on in school because it was broke and they were supposed to replace it. She has not been able to log on since they started the virtual teaching. So I've just been teaching as we go along every day, like the handwriting and all that other stuff. But she's going to be behind once school starts back up in September. I spoke to her worker. Her worker said that they was going to send a packet home, but the packet was going to be too advanced for my daughter. So just do whatever she can do. Help her do whatever she can do in this packet. What do I do? Like, how do I get the help that she needs?
So if I could jump
go
in
right
here.
Go right ahead, please.
All children, now this has come from the federal level, then to your state superintendents, and then down to local school systems. All children who have IEPs in this country are supposed to have what we call an individual, it's an ICLP, so it's in place of the IEP. While children are learning at home, the ICLP is supposed to provide all of the services. If you have not been contacted by your school to develop that plan and have that discussion, you need to do it first thing tomorrow morning. I suggest that all parents use email to document everything that you're asking for and all of the discussions and questions that you're asking, because I fear as well that some children will regress. And so if you keep a record of any instruction that your child has missed, they didn't have that that tool, that pad that they need, document it, date and time. How many days has she missed, you know, reading and math? Because sometimes, depending on what, you know, transpires, sometimes you can get what we call compensatory services, because the school system did not put things into place appropriately for your child to continue to learn.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for giving us a call. We appreciate your inquiry, and I hope that you're able to get your child the information and the education that he or she needs. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talk to me a little bit, if you can, Deborah, about the process of getting a child tested, because certainly that is something that I would imagine happens much earlier in the life of the child, before things are obvious, or when a parent realizes that there may be some issues.
Right. In most cases, it is early on, you know, preschool, sometimes in the beginning of elementary school, that children are actually tested for, just to see if they qualify for special education support. And there are 13 different handicapping conditions that a child might qualify for, but up to a certain age, by 7,
we have what we call developmental delay. And so during that phase, we're, you know, trying to figure out, is this just a delay that the child has, or is there something else going on? And maybe the child has a diagnosis of autism or intellectual disability or another condition. And so to get them tested, again, this is a national law that protects children and their parents. These are their rights. You can go to your local school system in your county. For younger children, it's called usually called Child Find, to have them screened and potentially evaluated. And then for children who are school age, you simply go to your neighborhood school and write a referral and put in writing that you want to have your child evaluated. That testing usually involves a school psychologist who would do a cognitive assessment as well as look at social, emotional, sometimes attentional issues, and perhaps do some autism rating scale. Mm-hmm. And then an educational specialist would do academic testing. And depending on your child, a speech and language clinician might do a thorough workup, looking at your child's language functioning. And then there are other areas such as occupational therapy, which involves small motor skills. So those are skills involving the hand. And, you know, there are other areas where a child can be evaluated, such as, you know, vision, hearing. It just depends. ADHD. There's a handicapping condition called other health impairment that children qualify under that. So once all of the testing has been done, the team and the parent is a part of the team. They come together to the table and determine if the child qualifies. And if they do, then an IEP will be developed.
Hold that point, because I want to let you continue that on the other side. And I also would like to ask Dakita about her experience also with this kind of diagnosis. So please stay with us. I need to take a break. But here's a reminder for our listeners to check me out on WHUR FM Instagram live tonight. It's at 8:15. This is After the Daily Drum. It's HUR at Home. I'm going to talk to Prince George's County Elections Administrator Alicia Alexander. We're going to talk about your vote and the new normal when it comes to making your voice heard at the ballot box. That's at 8:15, HUR Home. You don't want to miss it. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Lines are still open as we look deeper into this issue related to autism and our children. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. April is Autism Awareness Month, and tonight we're talking about educating and raising our children who are on the autism spectrum during the COVID-19 pandemic. My guests are Dakita Brown. She is an autism advocate and founder of Walk One Day in Our Shoes. Also, Deborah Martin. She is an educational consultant and a former school psychologist for Fairfax and Prince George's County Schools. If you have a question or a comment, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, Deborah, you were talking about those 13 points or so for diagnosing a child who is on the autism spectrum. Continue your point, because I also want Dakita to talk about her experience as well.
So So just to pick up where I left off, mm-hmm. once the decision is made that the child is eligible for services, then the IEP meeting is held. And, again, there is a huge federal law with many, many, many details describing how things should happen. There's a timeline and just lots of things that are very structured with this process. But that IEP is a very important document because it tells where the child is functioning now. It tells what type of goal we need to start working on, and it tells what the child needs to help them to work on those goals and to make success. Mm-hmm. And the IEP also identifies how much time is the child going to receive special education support. So they may be in a general education classroom with their same age mate, but how much time are they going to work with the special education teacher or with the speech pathologist? So when we go into schools to support families, we work with the school team and the parent in terms of these are the things that we're seeing that this child needs. And so parents are definitely a part of the team, and it's very important that you advocate for your child, what their needs are.
Takeda, take me back to in the months and years after the birth of your daughter, when you began to realize that there may have been an issue. What were some of the signs, and what kind of questions did you have? What did you do?
Well, she's my first child, firstborn, mm-hmm. so I paid attention to everything. So she used to get ear infections a lot, and she ended up having to get ear tubes put in. But that was really the only childhood ailment that she had. She hit all of her milestones on time, you know, crawling and walking and all these things. And I took her to get checked up for an ear infection. She went to her pediatrician, and she had a fever. And while there, the pediatrician suggested that we get her vaccines that were due at that time. And, you know, as a new parent, I said, oh, I don't want to do that because she's going to cry. I didn't want her to cry.
Yes, and he said, yes, no, I remember done. With my little girl. No, but no parent wants to see that
you
at
know,
all.
Like, I didn't want her to cry. That was my biggest thing. I don't want her to cry and be upset. And the pediatrician said, no, you're here, and it's the best thing. That way you don't have to come back, so just get it done. So I get her all these vaccines on this one day. Immediately saw a change. That was on a Wednesday. By Saturday, she had this high fever. She stopped babbling, looking us in the eye. It was an immediate change. And I called the pediatrician. I said, I see this change in her. And they said, just give her Tylenol. She'll be fine. And she never recovered. After that, I went to get a second opinion. I took her to another pediatrician because I knew something was going on with her. The other pediatrician says, well, you're going to have to go to a developmental pediatrician because there may be a delay here. There may be something going on that I can't diagnose. So I got an appointment for a developmental pediatrician at Children's Hospital. And like Deborah said, they did testing for her to diagnose her. One of the tests, I'll never forget, they gave her a bowl and a spoon and a teddy bear. And what she was supposed to do was take the spoon, put it in the bowl, and feed the bear. What she did, she took the bowl, turned it over, and started hitting it like a drum. And her dad and I were so excited, like, look at her baby. Look at her playing this drum. And the pediatrician made some notes, and they did little tests like that throughout this appointment to see where she hit. And at the end of the appointment, they said, yeah, she has, they diagnosed her with nonverbal autism as well as sensory processing disorder, which means that lights and sounds and anything having to do with your senses can really overwhelm her. So I always tell parents, getting that diagnosis was the biggest relief for me because then it opens up services. There are a lot of parents who are in denial or they don't want to label their child, but
the day we were diagnosed and that was put in her file, it opened the door to all the services that she uses now that help her.
Interesting. And if you can, share with us about Walk One Day in Our Shoes.
Sure. So we are such a social family. We love to have a good time. It seems like everyone in my family has some sort of talent. I'm a dancer. My three kids, girls are dancers. Our son is a dancer. My husband, he has a gift of gab. And
most husbands, you know, do, but that's another show.
Exactly.
That's how he got you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Go ahead.
So we enjoy being social. We enjoy having a good time, a party, a get-together, a function, and going to functions. And I would find myself going to, whether it was a family function or a public event, and my daughter's there with her noise-canceling headphones on, and she's very vocal. So she's like, la da da la 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 la. And people are staring, and they're pointing. Or if she has a meltdown, they are whispering, look, she can't control her child. Look at her. That child's bad. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to jail for anybody. So we stopped going to events, and that made me sad. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to throw an event just for the special needs community because I want my community and other families like me to come together and have a good time and not be judged. I decided, this was 10 events ago, I decided I'm going to do a sock hop. It'll be fun. We had about 180 people there. And at this event that was, I paid out of pocket for it, again, just to see my community smile. These events are for Leilani. I always say they're her party, and it's for and about her and for people like her. At the end of the event, families came up to me in tears saying, I've never danced with my child before. I've never been in an environment like this with other people like us. When is your next event? And I said, okay, I guess this is a thing. So I went and branched out into blogging where I write about my daughter and raising her. I also train hospitals and daycare centers, beauty salons about how to work with children and individuals who have the autism spectrum and how to accept them into your environment. And that's kind of, we encompass a lot within our organization, and it's all simply to help our community.
That is amazing for you to come up with that kind of organization that incorporates those kinds of activities. It is very, very much needed. And as a matter of fact, as with all information that we share on this program, we'll make sure that we put website links and other information on our website on whur.com after the program, after about 8:30 tonight or so. I also wanted to talk about, you know, some of the other things that parents have missed, Deborah, in your professional career dealing specifically with this. What kinds of things do parents really kind of struggle with when they're trying to figure this out, particularly as it relates to resources and trying to navigate the red tape?
Mm-hmm. So I would emphasize as much as possible to network with other parents who have similar, you know, concerns and challenges with their children. You can learn an enormous amount of information about resources, you know, just by talking to people or joining parent groups. There are support groups as well. And also, there is a wealth of information on the internet about all of the things that we're talking about, sensory needs, you know, communication, things that parents can do to help their children, but also local organizations. One of the things that we do at my company, Best Solutions, we work with parents in terms of what your child's individual needs are, and then, you know, give them information in terms of, you know, visit this program, go here, try this. Until you try, you know, you just don't know. There's speech and language private services that you can obtain through your insurance. occupational therapy. Many parents get private services to supplement what the school is doing. And this is really important right now because the amount of service time has been cut back drastically in some school systems. And so what a child normally was used to in terms of 30 minutes of speech services a week now is 20 minutes or less, or in some school systems, they're not providing speech services at all right now, which is not in line with what the federal government has said should happen.
So what should someone do if they are up against the wall like that, where they are kind of looking for the assistance? And certainly, outside of, of the networking and the like, without having to, drive up to the school's administration with a torch and a pitchfork.
So again, if they put in writing what they're looking for, things tend to happen sooner. Sometimes if it's not in writing, it didn't happen. But if you're referring your child to be reviewed and considered for special education, there's a timeline in terms of when that has to happen. If your child already has an IEP, but you want resources, you can ask for the case manager who works with your child to compile, local agencies and resources that would be beneficial. There are many free opportunities in the community. Our company are doing free Zoom meetings related to distance learning, where each week we take a different topic, because parents are now the first person in line in terms of, their child's education right now. Parents are the eyes and the ears of what's going on. And so we teach them how to keep documentation of how your child is progressing or not, so that when school does open back up, you will be empowered and you will have data and facts and will be able to speak to the IEP team in terms of this is what has happened over, these months. But there are just many community-type programs. So I would suggest that they reach out, to a program such as both of us have, in terms of just getting resources. Parents can call me and I'd be happy to, depending on what their concern is, give them information about their local school system. Most school systems have parent centers where you can go and obtain literature and resources. And the people that work in those centers also can refer parents to specific agencies that are local.
I need to take a break. But before I take a break, I'm going to make sure that I put out the information regarding contacting both of you. Are there web addresses that you can share with me for your organization, Dakita?
Sure. So I am at walkonedayinourshoes.com. That's www.walkonedayinourshoes.com. That's a website where it leads you to all of my other social media, my Instagram, my Facebook, and everything else. I'm also pretty active on Facebook as well. And you can reach out on the Contact Me tab. My email address is there. And, my family gets on me all the time because I do answer all emails because I'm just here to help. And
absolutely.
So please feel free to reach out, and I can help where I can.
Deborah, what about a web address for you before the break?
Yes, it's Best Solutions, edu.org.
BestSolutions.edu.org? Or Best Solutions? Okay. Again, please.
BestSolutionsEDU.org.
Wonderful. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, more questions for our guests and more of this conversation. Lines are still open at 202 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about Autism Awareness Month, specifically educating children on the autism spectrum during the COVID-19 pandemic. One of the things that struck me was, as we look at where we are in the midst of this pandemic, Dakita, and you talked about this organization that you founded and what you've been able to do for these children. Well, just like the public school system, this has put your organization, I would imagine, in a bit of a bind, because we do not know what's what day to day, social distancing and all of that. And I would imagine that for parents of children who are on the autism spectrum, that is another really difficult issue to deal with. Do you have a plan to address that? Have you thought about it?
I have, because I had a talent show that featured individuals with special needs. This is my second year having it, and it was scheduled for the beginning of April. I had 10 different acts lined up. Everyone practiced their acts. They were ready to come and perform in front of an audience. And I kept waiting to cancel because I didn't want to cancel it. And I know that these families look forward to these events where their loved ones can shine. And when I had to send out that cancellation, I didn't even have an answer to say it's postponed until another date. I had nothing. So now what I'm looking to do is to just use this time to take everything virtual. So I'm working on a couple of support groups that we're going to do virtually. I'm going to put all that information on my website next week, but there's going to be some support groups. We're also going to still do the trainings, because I figure like this, businesses are closed, but the businesses are still in operation of some sort. So I've already spoken to a couple of individuals who said, hey, you know, we're going to open back up one day, so why don't we take this time to learn how we can better serve the community. So I was left kind of like the school systems were, up in the air, what next? But I do still want to continue to provide for these families and to be a support to these families in a virtual form. And one day we will all get together and have the biggest party when this is all over, and I can't wait for that.
What happens with your daughter during the course of the summer before the coronavirus pandemic, as it relates to education and the old normal?
Okay. Yeah. So with the way things used to be, we have what's called extended school year, or ESY. And basically this is a program where during the summer, the kids get out in June, and then they have a couple of weeks where they have a break. But then during the month of July, she's in school for 4 hours a day. And this is in place of the school year, so there's no regression. So they have, as Deborah said, the IEP. They have everything that she's been working on during the school year. So they carry that over into the summer, and she rides the bus there. She gets a lunch. She's with her usual teacher. So it's just a way for her to keep those skills up. I've already had a conversation with the staff. The reality is they probably will still be doing distance learning when it comes to the summer. So again, if your child has an IEP, they will still get those services. It will just be virtual instead of being on site.
Your thoughts about that, Deborah? Because that's of course, I don't know. Uh-huh. And I was thinking, and thank goodness for Dakita in educating me about the process, because I was wondering if there was no school during the summer, which obviously there is, but I was thinking if there was no school during the summer, then why aren't educational systems prepared to deal with what we're seeing right now with the pandemic? But obviously there is. And so your thoughts about some of the options that may take place or could take place or we hope will take place during the summer for children with special needs, specifically those children who are mm-hmm. autistic.
Mm-hmm. So one point I would like to mention regarding the ESY program, that is not an automatic program if you have an IEP. So that, again, is something parents need to ask for in that IEP discussion, because not all children go to ESY, you know. So it's very important that parents, you know, don't just think, okay, I could just ask. You have to really show that your child will regress and that there's an educational need, you know, for it. But in terms of other programs, I am hoping, as Dakita just, you know, mentioned about virtual learning and online programs, I'm praying that groups and organizations are being proactive now and creating ways that children can have even summer camp or summer activities virtually until, you know, we're actually able to go out and interface, you know, closely with one another. But there are ways now, you know, where children can see their whole classroom. And so why not summer camp, you know, for several hours, you know, sporadically during the week, where they play games online and that type thing. So I'm hoping that people are looking ahead and, you know, just being really creative and thinking about ways that we can support the children, you know, during the summer.
Mm-hmm. I've got a minute or so left. Dakita, I'll let you have the last word when it comes to really trying to make sure that your child has the best education possible under these really difficult circumstances.
I think that, as I said before, reaching out to the current educators, they're there to help you. No one wants to see anyone kind of falling at the wayside, but as a very vocal parent for my daughter, I also know it's a fact, no one's going to really give you anything unless you ask at the same time. So vocalize what you need, vocalize that support, and get all that you possibly can from the special educator, the speech pathologist, the occupational therapist. They will be able to, like those websites and any other things online that you can find, they will really be able to help you there. And just, you know, some days your child may not want to sit in front of a laptop and learn because that's not what they're used to. And guess what? That is fine. Let them walk away. You take a break. Let them take a break and pick it back up the next day.
Yeah, because sometimes parents don't want to do it either.
So, yeah, right.
that's the reality there. But I thank both of you for your expertise. Thank you so much for your experience and your loving patience, because that is what is really needed during this difficult time. And it's not bad to have, you know, a husband with a gift of gab either. You know,
it depends on the day of the week.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm going to give him a pound from a distance. But anyway, both of you, please continue to stay safe and to do the work that you're doing. Dakita Brown and Deborah Martin, I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, April 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Be safe. Good night.